the hell is that?
Well, it sure ain't the Pillsbury fucking doughboy.
My name is Jamie Roberts.
I'm Robert Lendrum.
And this is the Running Scared Podcast,
where we review the films that had you running away, but coming back for more. Although, Jamie, are we ever going to come back again for this movie? Because for this Patreon exclusive, we are covering a movie that Jamie decided on called Ginger Dead Man, 2005. I'll tell you right now, Jamie, I'm never coming back for this film.
You know, I thought this would be kind of funny over the holidays to do something Christmassy. Yeah. Who doesn't like a good gingerbread cookie? I know I know every time I go to the grocery store, my kids, they always, they always tug on my shirt sleeve, "Daddy, Daddy, can we get the gingerbread house?" And then for sure, I got to make it. And always in these packages we get in these gingerbread houses, mm-hmm. there's a little gingerbread tree and there's a little gingerbread man. So I was thinking about that and I was like, you know what? We've got some amazing patrons that are graciously supporting us. So let's start to make some more content for them. So this is for you guys. It's not going on to the main feed, and we want to do, you know, we can't promise that we'll be able to do this on a super regular basis, but we will do this on a semi-regular basis to thank you for supporting us. And we just decided to pick a piece of shit gingerbread man to start
us off. You'd like that. We just thought we'd serve you up a big slab of shit. This is us in the Christmas spirit, just baking up some shit ones for you. I know what you mean, buddy. The gingerbread house is like a Christmas tradition. Our kids do it too. They start nibbling on it like a month later. They're still kind of like gnawing on it every now and again. Really yeah. Gross, totally stale. I took a look at this. I knew from the get-go it was going to be bad looking at the cover, but I felt like, okay, yeah, there's got to be some jokes in this, right?
Yeah.
I could see like where the humor is going to come from. I got this idea of like, oh, it's got that like Chucky vibe.
Yes.
It's got that like, maybe it's a little of that Gremlins, you know, vibe, where it's this mischievous little, you know, gingerbread man. If you ever read the classic story, my son's name is Fox, and of course we always get to the part where the fox eats the gingerbread man and he gets a little disappointed because it's like he's the backstabber of the gingerbread man. But you know, that's kind of what the gingerbread man is. He's a little mischievous guy who's like, yeah, fuck you guys and you can't catch me. I mean, he's really just running for his life because frankly they're trying to eat him. But this is a little bit different take on that story, Jamie.
Yeah, I would say that. One of the things I think that was like, just as initial thought, was kind of disappointing is I thought that, like you said, like there would be some jokes that would be laid in there and you'd be able to kind of just like riff on some things. And then one thing came to fruition is that it doesn't matter what you're making or what jokes, like you need to have a fucking story that goes mm-hmm. with the movie in order to like actually have some jokes that make sense. I'm sorry. Just my initial thoughts is like, and it's probably, you know, because this is billed as a horror comedy, like there's no story in this movie.
There's not that much comedy either.
There's not that much comedy too. Exactly. There's like, you know what I mean? There's some off color remarks by Millard, who's the gingerbread. He's been like possessed by this killer.
Millard Findlemeyer is the name. Is the name of the killer.
Millard Findlemeyer, exactly. So, the spirit or the blood. But anyways, I've got some questions as how this whole thing like cooks mm-hmm. up. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. But let's just jump into it, Rob. Let's get to the one line challenge. And I think I'm first this time.
Yeah, I did Black Christmas first, so it's yours.
Okay.
Ready? I'll catch you in.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Ginger Dead Man. A bakery. Up against its corporate rival, smothers against a backdrop of its own historical trauma and new age realization of destruction, only to be found in the accumulation of a of a gingerbread man that comes back to pile on with the, oh fuck, oh my god, to pile on the bad stuff that is happening to the family's business. Ginger Dead Man.
You're mixing your metaphors there.
Oh my god, yeah, brutal, man, brutal. Okay, do better.
Count me in.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Gingerbread man. A bit crooked robs a restaurant, murders several in his path of mayhem, only to later on be sent to the chair. But rather than dying, his remains are grinded to the bone to make me bread. Gingerbread. And to be reanimated as a killer gingerbread man seeking revenge. Not even really revenge anyway, but yeah, seeking to kill the one that got away. Gingerbread man. It's not even after revenge, right? Because, oh, did she ID him? Is that what the idea is?
Yeah, I think, okay, so.
Because she didn't get killed. So we should.
Exactly. So I think that's important. So that was like maybe not the best plot summary, but essentially, and really, this plot summary will take about 15 seconds. Essentially, you have this like crook who holds up a diner or a bakery, whatever it is, and murders a couple people and then leaves one of them alive.
Well, he shoots her. He thinks he killed her.
Exactly. He thinks he kills her, but she's alive. And then she comes back and IDs him and sends him to basically to death row where he's executed. And then this is where like it's a little bit fuzzy how he actually is able to come back and incarnate like the dough and then is baked up into a killer. Like that's the thing. There's like
they explain it, but it's kind of thin.
Did they explain it? Because I see all I'm gonna say is like we see like somebody walking away in a black cloak. And then we see slow motion, the film down. And then we see Millard who cuts himself and then his blood is like dipped into the flour or drops into the flour and
no,
then
it's not Millard. It's Brick. Brick accidentally cuts himself.
Thank you. Brick's cuts his hand. He bleeds into the flour. And then I love how like she goes back and just uses the same tub where he's bled into.
Yeah,
the
real
to like make up the to make up
sanitary.
The cookies. And then basically the cookie comes back to life and then just goes on a killing spree in one room. He goes outside in the parking lot one time. But basically, this whole movie takes place in one fucking room.
Yeah. So besides the diner, there's only two locations in this movie. There is an outdoor scene at one point, but it feels like it probably was just outdoor, whatever they were shooting.
Yeah.
like they just went outside and shot that too. They really kept to their, I actually kind of applaud them for that because it's like they knew they had no budget. So like, let's keep this real tight, keep it real one spot.
Just keep it real tight. Yeah. I've heard $60,000 for this film.
I don't know where you heard that, but that would make sense. I heard Gary Busey accepted the offer of $25,000 to make this film. So he's half the budget. Gary Busey's really only in the first scene where he is the Millard Findlemeyer. He's the crook who stands up the diner. And then his voice is lent to the gingerbread man. So now the gingerbread man, what are you saying about the flour? So what happened was his body was cremated after death row. His mother got the ashes. And then the mysterious figure that delivers the ginger dough is
like
the grandmother.
Oh, I see. Okay. So like she dumps them in or she's trying to help her son, I guess, seek revenge on the people that put him to death, right?
Yeah. Maybe she's like a witch or something. I mean, we see in the first scene, they don't do enough to like paint this picture clearly enough, but we do get the sense that Millard is somewhat like not mentally right because he actually like kind of speaks to his mother in that first scene. She's not present.
Can we just break down that first scene?
Yeah. Did that give you some Pulp Fiction vibes?
Everybody be cool, this is a robbery!
Any of you fucking pricks move! And I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you!
Oh my God, Rob, and I said this before, man. There's a reason why we do these shows, man. I literally was thinking this is like a poor man's Pulp Fiction because it just reminded me of like, come on, this scene with Tim Roth and, you know, whatever. I'm not going to go through it. Everybody knows that film. Anyways, he's behind the counter and he's like wielding a gun. This is in Gary Busey. This is the first scene. Like, they come in the diner and like the son and the dad and the daughter there are like hiding underneath. Now, I didn't see anybody else in the restaurant.
I don't think there was anybody else.
I didn't see like, I'm not even sure. We didn't get a sense of like what was happening before or what was happening after. And then you talked about this in Chopping Mall, like people making fucking bad decisions that lead to pointless death. Bad decisions that lead to pointless death. The dad goes, we got to do something. I've had enough of this shit. He stands up and says something and then bang, he's dead.
Well, literally. He charges at him like a bull. Like, yeah. Grandpa, what are, a butter knife. What are you going to like slide over the counter and take him? Like, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, the counter? Like, how? What are you going to do? He's just trying to like run at him at full speed.
Yeah.
Gary just pops him. Then the son gets up and he's like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just me. Like, you know, he tries to talk him to, and then he tries to talk Gary Busey, like, you know, please put down the gun. And Busey's character keeps saying, say it a different way. Say it like this. And this is the one thing about the movie I almost found kind of interesting is like this movie is filled with bad acting. And I mean,
oh my God, yeah.
I mean, I almost don't want to be rude, but it's true. Like there's not much redeemable acting in this film. Yeah. So it's funny how the film actually does a few things where it points at its bad acting and it tries to use it to its own advantage in a weird way. So in this scene or this particular exchange, Findlemeyer is telling the son to like say it again, say it like this, and then he keeps saying, "No, you sound like my gym teacher. Now you sound like my dad. Now you sound like," and so the kid keeps saying it different ways, and it just looks like a bunch of bad takes. And then of course he puts the gun down on the counter. He's like, "Go ahead, take it. See what you can do." So the guy tries to grab the gun, and Busey's waiting for him to do this so that he can pull him over the counter and stab him in the back, which I thought was pretty cold-blooded.
Yeah, because then it goes, it basically pans to her, and then all you hear is like repeated stab wounds to the vertebrae area. Like it wasn't just one stab wound, the guy was getting it over and over again. And then then she's there, and then they have a little bit of a conversation. But like you said, Busey, where it calls into question the idea of like mental health, because he's talking up to the sky, like he's talking up to his mother.
Yeah, and which made me think she was dead, but she's not dead.
So, and then eventually he just is clearly, he's at odds. He's very conflicted at this moment. You know what I mean? His intense like character study of Gary Busey in this movie. he's coming to grips with what he needs to do here. And then eventually, you know what I mean? His just animalistic need to kill overtakes him. And then,
well, he says, mom says, I told my mom I'd never, what is the line? I always get the job done or whatever. I never leave it unfinished or something like that.
I just think that like, I wish there could have been a scene before that could have maybe perpetuated like, or just set it up a little bit better. So we had a better understanding.
I don't know, man. I liked getting thrown into this scene. This is actually a decent hook. The movie starts with a heist, like with a, you know, and then it goes wrong, right?
Yeah, so, but can you really climax in the first 15 seconds?
No, I know. The rest of the movie doesn't live up to this scene, but it's
I just guess like, if you're, okay.
But you know what's funny? Like there's all this momentum that this opening scene builds for you, right? Like it's like, wow, okay. I mean, I can tell right away it's poorly acted in that, but I was like, okay, like not a bad hook, right? Like, cool. Opening scene is pretty cool. Then they kill all momentum with a fucking 4 minute long opening credit scene. Like it was the 1930s. Like the movie, you know, in the movies, in the old movies, they just like have like, they do like the credits that we do at the end now. They do it at the front back then and they'd like have like a picture and you'd just be waiting and waiting and
oh
waiting
my God.
For the
okay.
first scene to start. That's so, what they did here.
Yes, they did. And you know what? That's in my like miscellaneous section. And so we're picking up on the same things here. So they say the running time on this is like 71 minutes. Not 71 minutes. This is like, because I watched it on YouTube and one of the first things I picked out is, oh my God, these credits are like easily 4 or 5 minutes long, right? They're so slow. And then I watched it on YouTube and then it cuts out like 9 minutes. Rob, this movie, the gold standard for like a shitty horror film is 90 minutes. Maybe you can get away with 85 minutes, right?
81, yeah, 82.
I've heard, you know what I mean? You could
dabble
around.
What's Anaconda?
Anaconda is like well over 90, dude.
No, it is not. It's short. Remember we talked about this?
No, it's not.
It is, man. Check it out.
Anaconda's not that. Anyways,
I'm going to tell
you. This movie is like 60 to 62 minutes long. Like this is not a long film. Like they really burn a lot of time with the credits and whatnot. Anyways, I would say that, you know, Gary Busey, if you've like, come on, Point Break, Johnny Utah, he's sick in that movie. Like the guy is certifiable. He is been in some really like, he's had some awesome roles. So he just, and I think that's probably why he was offered the money, right? Like $25,000 to work for a couple hours. He brings a credibility to the film.
Whoa, hold on a second. Gary Busey brings credibility? Dude, do you know what you're talking about? Gary Busey was like marred in the public image. Like he's been dry. Like this guy has done so many fucked up things in his real life. It is like his whole like, all his credentials were down the drain.
All I'm saying is,
I don't know about 2005. I can't remember exactly where Gary was around that point, but right now, like is Gary alive? Like Gary's alive, right?
Yeah, Gary's alive. All I'm saying is that even just with your status of your like your Hollywood status, Gary Busey is like, he's a Hollywood actor. He's a well-known. Yeah. He's a well-known worldwide actor. So I'm just saying, even at that, forget about what he's done in his personal life. Having him in the film brings a credibility to the film because you have that kind of actor in the movie. He's been in some like, you know, Point Break, man. It's one of my favorite films.
No, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, I don't know where Gary was career-wise at this point. And well, to accept 25K sounds like he was a little desperate to work.
You know, I always get him mixed up with Nick Nolte.
Yeah, but Nick Nolte doesn't have...
You remember Nick Nolte?
Yeah, I know Nick Nolte. I'm just saying he doesn't have the same problems.
No, just saying. Like, I always get them mixed up because they kind of look the same. Anyways, so I think that is something that maybe makes the movie not terrible. What do you think about... what do you think about some of the other performances in this movie, Rob?
The one that comes to my mind too, there's two particular, but again, to my theory of like how the film actually tried to use its bad acting to its advantage. Remember when Brick is talking to himself in the mirror? He's going, I'm going to kick your ass. Or what is his line he keeps repeating?
But I'm the butcher baker.
Yeah.
I'm going to
By the way, what is a butcher baker? Why is it two things? You're either a butcher or a baker. You can't be both.
I don't know. He's a wrestler, right? That's his thing.
That's stupid. And then the one I think we should talk about is Robin Sidney, who plays Sarah Lee, who's essentially the main character.
She's the lead, right? She's the protagonist, right?
She's the protagonist. She's the one who got shot, comes back, IDs Millard, gets him killed on death row. And then it's about her. It's her bakery. And her bakery is almost going to go under. She's getting like pushed out of business by the corporate...
Jimmy Dean,
played by Larry Cedar, by the way. Which, by the way, if you're talking about like adding legitimacy, like this is another big actor that has no business being in this bad movie.
That was another thing. Like the whole time, I'm thinking, this guy's in the wrong movie. Like he's in a Stetson. He's given the whole like heavy on the corporate. He should be in like Roadhouse 2. Like he should not be in this movie.
What's weird to me is this guy's good in the stuff he's in. And then here he's terribly miscast. And then like, I think it's just like, well, we got a good actor and like he can carry it. And it's like, yeah, I guess, but I don't know if he's trying to be funny. I don't know what it is, but this seems awful for him.
It doesn't fit. He's like,
it doesn't fit. Yeah.
You know, it just goes to show you, man, kids got to eat. Like, these actors, you know, we aggrandize these huge like A-list actors, but there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that want to work in film and it's hard. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like to get jobs and, you know, even actors that you think are like fucking rolling in it, take jobs like these because it's a paycheck. And I think we can't forget that.
Well, back to Robin Sidney, who's definitely getting a paycheck because, I don't know, this girl's... So this is a very strange... I've never really come across an acting credit like this before. Like, she's been in a ton of movies. So many of them are bad, bad horror movies. And it looks like a lot of them from the same studio. So, like, I don't know if she's, like, part of the studio or she's, like, a co-owner or she's, like, whatever. But this woman... is like kind of a sultry looking, attractive 90, like very of her time, like very like early 2000s. She looks like hot for her, for like that time. But like her acting is pretty bad. And I'm just kind of confused by her because I'm like, in the film, she literally starts like stealing the other girl's boyfriend in.
Whoa. I actually think, no, I'm going to let you finish your thought. And then I'm going to take issue with that point, Rob.
All right. You take issue. But she like starts cuddling up to Amos real quick. And I don't know.
Some of these names.
I don't know. They are a little odd. Everything about this movie is odd.
Amos, Brick, fucking Lorna. Like, come on.
But here's the thing. Her and everyone else, she especially, I feel like I'm watching a fucking episode of the Power Rangers. The acting is
like a movie, man. He looks like he should be in the Power Rangers.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then the gingerbread man looks like a Power Rangers villain. And it's like, that's who made this movie. The fucking guys made Power Rangers.
Well, let's just leave the gingerbread man to the end. You know what I mean? As he's using a fucking rolling pin as a cane to fucking hit the gas.
The acting's bad. Let's just settle it.
The acting is bad. Let's move on. The acting is shit. Like, yeah. So bad. Jimmy Dean sausage. Fucking brutal. Okay. Okay. So there's some nice looking women in this film.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing I'm almost shocked by watching this film. I was like, okay, they're going to get a lot of boobs into this movie. There's actually no boobs in this movie.
No. And that's, I think they couldn't afford. they couldn't afford the boobs. Right. Seriously, because like you need to, listen, Rob, if someone's going to ask you to take off your shirt or to do something, you know, nothing in life is free, man. If you're going to,
if you're good at something, don't do it for free.
Exactly. And you got to, if you're going to, you know, you got an asset, like you got to pay for that. And and you don't, but like, that's the thing. I thought for sure there was going to be tits in this movie and there was going to be some kind of sex scene, some kind of like Amos and they were, you know, but you don't see any of that in that film.
No, it's very chaste.
I had a take on this because of the names like Amos. You think this is like a religious movie?
And the ginger dead man is what? Like the devil?
A metaphor for, I don't know. Anyways, but there's...
Who's Brick?
Fuck. Let's talk about... We'll get to his makeup after his transformation. Okay, one thing that actually is... The movie shit, but actually is decent, is that the gingerbread man, Millard, like when he is reincarnated as the cookie, he has some decent kills. Like,
yeah.
He runs over Jimmy in the car. Classic. He has got a couple of good lines where he's like hiding and he says, "Hey, how about a facial?" And then Lorna, who clearly is like very into her looks, slashes up her face. And then who's the one that he throws the knife and gets her right in the skull?
It's the same girl. It's the booby trap on the front door.
Oh, is it the booby trap? So yeah, that was like that's a classic kill. Like hunting knife right in the temple. I loved it. So actually there's a couple of decent kills that I thought were good.
Yeah. How many people die in this? What's the death count?
I want to say, doesn't mom die? She gets baked up.
She gets hurt, but she doesn't die.
Well, then it's only two. It's only Jimmy and Lorna. Two corporate assholes. Well,
and then Brick, I guess, dies because he gets...
Oh, he gets baked.
He gets baked because... Brick actually eats the gingerbread man.
Oh my God. Let's just wait. We'll talk about that later. So some decent kills, you know, decent kills. One of the things that I thought that was kind of interesting was classic horror move. Throwing the Beethoven there, Rob. Classic is that electricity always brings a killer back. So I think like, remember when we did Jason 6? You know what I mean? Fucking Horshack.
What's the guy?
Sticking the wrought iron thing. Hey, let's dig up a grave and then put a wrought iron fence post into Jason. What's
the movie of the guy who's in the electric chair and he gets...
Shocker. Wes Craven's Shocker.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And this movie's definitely like ripping off Chucky and Child's Play because the whole like coming back to life. I think in Child's Play 1, he has like a...
That's electricity too.
No, it's like voodoo magic. He like puts his soul into the doll.
But I thought, it was storming outside. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, and but then in the second and third one, because I feel like the doll gets all crunched up and then somehow it oozes into another one or something. I don't know. But like, there's definitely like a connection here, like a trope they've stolen.
All right, let's move on to some questions where I think we can, you know, take a little meat off the bone here. And, you know... I said, like, does this strengthen the argument that people will watch anything?
Oh, man.
And then
I'm wondering about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then you had the sort of the follow up that was, why do people watch this shit?
Yeah. Like you can spot this shit from a mile away, right?
Yeah.
Like, most viewers can like spot that this is gonna be a bad movie just by looking at the cover. I remember when I worked in the video store, like we saw there was a ton of bad movies on the shelves.
Yeah,
you can spot their shitty ones, but there's an audience. People are, somebody's renting or buying, or I guess these days streaming this garbage. And what, like, I had a hard time sitting through this 71 minutes, man. I was like, God damn it, Jamie, why'd you make me do this fucking movie?
Yeah.
It was just painful, right? And it's just poorly acted. It's just so, it's just awful. And I'm trying to figure out, like, what do people get out of this when they sit and watch these things? I think you're hoping that you're going to get, like, some raw comedy and, like, something funny. But honestly, this, I can't understand how this got two sequels, because it's not funny enough for me. Like, there's just not enough jokes in it to make it, like, you know, oh, that's a funny joke. Like, I'm going to go tell my friends about this.
Yeah, like, exactly. The jokes are kind of the gingerbread men being a little bit belligerent, and some of the, you know, poking fun at yourself. But I just think that it's a reflection of, and like, I don't take this the wrong way, but like, society is pretty stratified, right? Like, you have
what?
People from all walks of life. Like, not everybody not everybody wants to watch The English Patient, or not everybody wants to have, especially those that are kind of, and not to say that this coincides with the culmination of like elevated horror, but it, to me, this is like this is pointing in absolute opposite direction, where you've gone to, because this is still a horror comedy, still a horror film, right? You've gone to a lot of horror films where, you know, it's like you got to really think through it, and you got to spend a lot of time processing it. And then you have something like this where there's zero processing.
Yeah,
it's just like candy. You could literally smoke a big fucking blunt and then just watch this film and maybe like... And so I was trying to think, okay, so what's the parallel in another genre? And I was trying to like be like, what is like the shit? And there's like shit comedies, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I feel like this, like just, you know, the bad comedies that you would find. To me, this, even though it's been 2005, it feels like a video store movie that's like, you know what I mean? Never rented. It's on the bottom shelf. It's there. It was made. It's available, but like nobody ever rents it. And I...
Well, you know what? We used to look at those boxes and we'd laugh at them. And then finally, yeah. Sometimes we'd finally go, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's rent this one today.
What was that one we rented?
Usually we're getting for free, so I think that's why.
There was the one with Adam Sandler. He played Shecky Moskowitz, and he was like, it was like Cruise Board or Overboard or something like that. It reminded me of this because it was so fucking bad, and it was like these movies feel so independent and just so like independent bad, you know? Like there's independent good and there's independent bad.
Yeah.
I don't think my explanation... you know, clears up the roadway in terms of why people actually watch this stuff. I just think it just shows that, man, society is 180 degrees and there are just people that are going to watch this stuff, right?
Like, I guess once in a while you get a gem though, right? Like, I'm trying to think of one, like, you said Adam Sandler, made me think of, you ever seen Grandma's Boy?
No, I haven't seen that.
It's like made by Sandler's crew. It's not him. Like he produces it. He's off camera. You hear him yelling a couple times, but he's never in it. It is such a weed movie. Like if you smoke a fatty and watch that, it's so funny, but it's so dumb. And like, anyway, but like that's what I mean. Yeah, independent bad, like an independent good. Once in a while you get something that's like, oh, like these guys actually had something here. And you know what? These guys had some casting. They had a couple good people in this movie. So they took their shot. So good on them for doing that.
We just
don't know why it warranted two more.
I think, and this directly relates to what we talked about with Black Christmas, is that this to me is the attempt to create the franchisable star, the marketable killer. And it doesn't matter if it's a cookie, if it's a doll, if it's a fucking killing lampshade. It's like anything they will try to you know, these movies are made to make money, right? Mm-hmm. And if you release it at the right time, like, and I'm sure the people behind this thought that, you know, like, hey, this might, and it did spawn two sequels. Can you believe it? There's two sequels. So this movie must have made enough money to warrant another one. Because this movie made no money. They're not going to dump another 100 grand into another one or whatever, how much it costs. So I think it's just, especially in the horror genre, there is that attempt to always try to get to that apex of like that franchisable star, like that Chucky, the Leprechaun, whatever, I guess the Gingerbread Man, right? Or the Ginger Dead Man. Mm-hmm. So that's my take on that one, Rob.
Yeah, you know what? That makes sense. I just, I don't know, man. Like I can't understand if there was enough appeal in this one to like say we should do that again. But I guess if it only costs 60K, if that's what you said, then why not, right? Because I don't know. Did it make money? I don't know. I'd love to know the stats on this goddamn movie.
Yeah, I'm not sure we're gonna be privy to those numbers.
This has a 3.4 out of 10 rating on IMDb.
Fuck, that high?
Yeah, it's actually like surprisingly high. The sequel, by the way, is called Passion of the Crust. And the third one's called Saturday Night Cleaver. Oh boy. Anyway, so what did you think of let's talk about the fucking doll or the gingerbread man. What did you think of it when you saw it? Did you actually like respond to that thing in any particular way?
I thought it was kind of gross. Yeah. Like just at the beginning, like it just was like icky and gross. And then I found the features of the face like too small.
Yeah, I think that was part of like why it was gross. It was like the face is too small for the body.
Face is like too small. And then like I don't know why she was building such a big cookie, but this cookie didn't have, it didn't like have a 3D vibe to it. To me, it felt very 2D.
You know what's weird? Like, sorry to cut you off there, but
no,
like,
no, let's go.
You know, Chucky is a doll, and the frightening thing about that is it's something that your kids like cradle and love and like, you know, keep close to them and sleep with, and it turns out to be this sinister thing. The Ginger Dead Man is a cookie, and yet the only time it gets eaten is by at the end of the film. So like, why not have a scene? Like, to me, if you're writing this story, the first kill, get it out of the way if you want, but the first kill is somebody who picks it up thinking, I'm going to eat this cookie. It's just a cookie. Yeah. And as I'm about to put it in my mouth, it like stabs me in my mouth or whatever, right? Like that's like...
That would be better.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if it's a gingerbread, if it's a cookie, it should do what cookies do and then subvert that somehow. Yeah. Right? But instead, it just immediately is running around causing shit, like a little gremlin.
Causing shit. It's like cutting off fingers.
Yeah.
It's like fucking using...
It does a lot of maiming.
Oh, yeah. It's like...
More maims than kills, I think.
Stabbing. He's mutilating. He jumps in the Camaro with the rolling pin.
He baked the one girl up, like, and he put the cherries on her nipples. Do you remember that scene when she falls?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
With she's not ice. Dead, though. She's like, she's... it's so stupid.
But there you go, like a trophy kill.
Yeah. I mean, that's supposed to be the funny shit makes you laugh. But my point is just like, this ginger dead man doesn't kind of live up to what he's supposed to be about. He's a baked good. He's also, gingerbread kind of crumbles easily. So I keep thinking like someone's going to grab him, just break him apart. And so this ends with Brick, the wrestling guy, the butcher baker, which again, I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. Pins him down like a wrestler and then bites his head off and chews it and eats it. And then like inside it like gushes
it's all,
blood.
Yeah, it's all blood though. Like it's not cookie. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's got a filling, which is really weird. Because it doesn't quite look like blood. But anyway, he like burps and like it's supposed to be the funny joke, which is like, wow, that's like a 12-year-old like commercial for like some new soft drink or something. Like it's like a bad
milk,
joke.
Milk is running down his chin.
Yeah. And the woman's totally like, the girl is like, the other girl, the third girl, I can't remember her name, is just like batting her eyelashes at him like, wow. It's like fucking...
You saved the day.
This guy can't even drink a glass of milk properly. So if he gets eaten and he takes over the guy's body and then he gets possessed by Millard Findlemeyer.
Yep.
And his face gets all like, again, very, very Buffy the Vampire Slayer / Power Rangers level makeup
bad.
Here.
It was bad. Why was his tongue blue?
Yeah, and then he licks her face with the blue tongue. And it looks like he just like drank a lot of Kool-Aid. Like it doesn't
like it wasn't like gross. It was like, yeah, like he had a blue freezy on like, you know what I mean, like play day at school.
Yeah. And so, never scary, never creepy, never like anything more than just silly. And then he gets pushed into the oven. Which, by the way, if you watch the scene, he takes like 3 steps towards the door while he's monologuing, and it's so obvious that the director was like, "I need you to be a little closer, a little closer, a little closer."
Then they just come in and push him.
Yeah,
they just push him. They just push him. Or when she's in the, oh my god, like it's like, how many times they go in and out? That was like the one prop they need. They must have like, that was the one thing. The lighting they had in the oven, they needed to use it because they were in and out of that fucking oven more than, you know, more than you're in and out of a swimming pool on a hot summer's day. Like, she gets pushed into the oven, yeah. And Amos is on his back and like is able to fucking blow the lock off. And then she gets out, and then exactly, they push him in. The mom was in earlier.
Oh yeah, she was in earlier. Do we ever see inside the oven?
It's a lot of smoke. It's a lot, yeah, of orange lighting, but I, yeah, don't think you ever see like what it looks like inside.
So there's some tension building that they could have had if they, oh, if you cut to inside and you see Sarah actually in there and she's like starting to like overheat and like you see the hot oven rods or whatever. Yeah, fuck.
Rob, these are all the things that I expected.
Mm-hmm.
These are all the things I expected. This movie, even though it was like, I think it was crappy and why I didn't like it, because it just, some of those like basic horror comedy things that you said that you would expect to get with like a cookie in a bakery, they actually didn't deliver.
No, I know. They missed the opportunities that were presented right there in front of them.
It's like, no, you know what I mean? Like
he could have been in the glass case with like 5 other cookies. And yeah, somebody's like, oh, this one looks good. And they end up, yes, picking up the wrong one and they get it close to their mouth and then he stabs it. Like, whatever. How do you not have that scene in here? Also think, gingerbread is Christmas, right? Is there anything, yeah, Christmassy about this movie?
Not that I can remember. Nothing.
Yeah, and if you know anything about a low-level horror movie, pick a season, yep, and attach yourself to it tightly.
Exactly. Pick a season, pick a franchisable killer or try to create one, and then just away you go. But they missed the mark on that so bad. And like,
talk about some other bad filmmaking, Jimmy. How about the music in this film?
Oh my god,
you're the music guy. Dig in.
You watch those, like, you know, you come home from the bar at 1 a.m. when you were like 20, and there'd be those bad like softcore porn movies that would be on a TV, and it would be like do 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 do.
I was hoping for that in this movie.
Do 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 do. Anyways, it's the same piano riff. Do 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 do.
Oh, that, okay.
It's just like, the big thing with the music is it never changes through the entire film. It's like they've got like 3 tracks that they've used. This is 2005, man. Like, you had...
Yeah, stock music existed by now.
Oh, for sure stock music just existed. And they just continually it's literally the same riff, the same tone.
Well, it's also, they play it head to toe in every scene. Like, it's, yeah, it, they start a scene with it playing.
Which it just goes to show you how, you know, like, watch a scene with music, a horror scene, and then watch a scene without. And if it's done well, it is almost more important than what's actually happening.
Absolutely. You
know what I mean? Because the big thing is with filmmaking and like a cinematic experience, and it's a visual descriptive writing. Like, you want to activate all the 5 senses or as many as you possibly can. And if you're going to just totally throw one out the window, that it's one of the most important, like your ears, then you're doing yourself an injustice.
Yeah, it does seem like a way that they could have easily elevated the film a little bit.
They don't even change the volume of it.
From 3 out of 10 to maybe a 3.5.
I know. Like, there's no you know,
there's no dynamics.
There's no jump scares. They try to do it. There's no dynamics. So the movie itself is like a very silly idea, but I hate to say that we're kind of stripping it away from all these like sort of basic elements of filmmaking that this movie just doesn't do. But then people still watched it, right?
You're really mad about this.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm mad. I just think that, you know, it had the opportunity to be a lot better. And I'm more, honestly, you want to know what I'm fucking mad about? I'm more mad that there's not enough like jokes in the film to riff off of, right? Because it's just, a lot of it is just stupidity. And it kind of like, did you not find that it just very like Tin Man-esque goes from scene to scene? Like, it feels rushed. It feels, I mean, not rushed, but it feels very, stilted a little bit, you know, like I never felt like they settled down. The only scene that I feel like they actually settled down to like a proper film scene was when Amos and the main character, what's her name again?
Sarah Lee.
Sarah Lee. Yeah. They're talking and then they kiss. And there's at least a little bit of like interplay what's happening there. But other than that, this movie may just need to be reviewed, Rob.
All right. Well, I thought you'd have a little more fun, but you sound very angry. Maybe we should,
I'm watching
the trailer for Ginger Dead Man 2 right now. And it looks fucking like, it looks like they got more budget though. More budget. The acting looks horrible too, but, I don't know. Something else is going on. They definitely elevated their budget for the second one. I'm surprised. And I don't see Gary Busey's name attached to it.
How much more are we going to take this movie apart?
It's your choice.
Review this thing. Let's go.
Oh, wait. But Jamie, before we can review this film, we have to first choose a winner of the Running Scared Award.
I'm going to make a run for it.
Running Scared Award is where we decide on a particular character who, or it could be someone else. I guess we've never really bent it beyond character, but someone in the film that got the most exercise. And I went first in the last one when I picked the goaltender from Black Christmas. So it is now your turn, Jamie.
I'm going to come in with... I'm going to come in with Jimmy. The corporate raider. I think this guy...
The cowboy corporate raider?
Exactly. He's on his horse. You know what I mean? He's riding around. He's got to go back and forth repeatedly across...
What the fuck? He's in two scenes. What are you fucking talking about? I really thought you were going to say the dad in the first scene because he runs across the diner. I thought that was going to be
huge. Yeah, like fucking 12 steps and he was killed. No, Jimmy's got to go back and forth. He's got four eateries that he's got to get to. He was trying to run away from the car at the end. You know, he's being chased down by the gingerbread. He's like, you know what I mean? He's doing his 800 meter dash. He put in a shift, okay, and then eventually gets run down and killed.
All right, I'm going to give it to Brick Fields, who.
I knew you were going to do that.
Well, he's baking all morning. This guy works a full day. He's baking all morning, and he's there early. Bakers get up fucking early, like before the sun. He's baking all morning. Cuts himself, bleeds into the dough. Still patches himself up. Finishes his day at work. Goes wrestling all night. On his way home, sees people are still at the bakery. He's like, what the fuck are they doing there? Pulls in, gets in a fist fight with a ginger dead man, bites him, turns into an evil spirit, and gets thrown into an oven. That's a little hot yoga to end the day. Yeah,
that's 800 cals.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, Jamie. Now let's get to the review, and I will voluntarily go first because I think you went first for both the one-line challenge and the Running Scared Award. For this review, I don't know how we dragged this into 50 minutes and 20 seconds.
50
watching
minutes.
The clock tick away here going, oh, God, can we really squeeze another minute out of this? But listen, folks, out there, there's a good reason this film is bad. It's poorly acted. It's poorly made.
You're not leaving any room here for me, Rob. No.
And here's the thing. What disappoints me most about is that you want some dumb gags and some jokes and some funny kills. There is a little bit of that. It didn't completely like lose all of it, but it did miss some opportunities. And like, if you got a creepy little ginger dead man, like, I don't know, do what you can with that thing, but do more with it. Like, I don't know. It just didn't hit the numbers that it could have. I'm coming in with a strong 1.5 out of 5 on this one.
Fuck that high.
Well, I'm giving it some credit for Gary Busey being in the film, for Larry Cedar being in the film, for a good hook with the scene in the diner. And I will give it a little credit, although, as you say, it kind of gets tiring. But at least they tried to confine themselves to a singular place because they had a low budget. So, like, keep it in the bakery all night long. But as you said, that does get pretty tired after a while. And like, you know, the Power Rangers level acting just can't lift it beyond that. So that's where I come in, James. It's all yours.
Okay. So I think that I'm going to go right to the heart of the issue here. And the Gingerbread Man, like the execution of what the Gingerbread Man actually looks like and how he's configured and like, you know, how he kind of talks and looks, I thought was just a big miss. And really at the end of the day, it's called Ginger Dead Man. Like you got to get that piece right. If you're going to get anything right, you got to get that right. And I thought that was a big miss. So like it just, and also I didn't find the Gingerbread very funny. You know, I think partly because has this like scowl on its face and kind of has these off color remarks to his victims before he's about to kill them. But I just didn't find anything like charismatic about about the Gingerbread Man experience. I also think that all these supporting actor pieces, like, you know, like they just seemed like they were, it was like, it's like Battleship. Like they just kind of like, they're firing off lines and there's no cohesion. To me, the movie didn't feel like it had any kind of strategy or any kind of like cohesive theme or idea. It was just like, hey, let's show up and let's just kind of do this. So in that sense, if there's one sort of saving grace, I thought Amos, the delinquent, you know, I mean, he shows a few sides of himself and I think he's able to redeem himself. You know, when he talks about his relationship with Lorna and what it really means, I thought that was interesting. And
well, redeem himself from what? Because in the very first scene, he just comes in and he starts breaking up his girlfriend. Like he starts saying, hey, what's going on? He's immediately the good guy, even though they say he's the delinquent. And you're like, yeah, but you've never showed me him being a delinquent yet, except he has a gun in his car.
Maybe I think just because the way they've dressed him, they've got him like in like, he looks like he should be the fucking third guitar player in The Offspring.
This would be the time, yeah.
Anyways, he shows a softer side, but like the other acting's not good. It's like it's a miss on, you know, like when they drop the rat in, like the health and safety, that they're trying to make that funny. And it's kind of funny, but it needs to be. You got to let everything simmer a little bit. Thought the jokes kind of fall flat. For me, the big thing was like my eyes just got tired looking at the same goddamn, you know, kitchen scene, right? Mm-hmm. And the lighting is drab. The music is brutal.
The jokes? You said the jokes fall flat. I can't remember a single joke in this movie.
It's mostly like the Ginger Dead Man, like kind of punking off who he's about to kill and just making kind of, like, basically all he does is swear at them. Like, the movie's not very clever. So if you're going to make a horror comedy with a Ginger Dead Man, you better have some clever lines. You know what I mean? You better have some, like, puns and you better have, like,
I was expecting puns, like pun upon pun.
Yeah, you got to have some stuff like that.
Ho, 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 hoes. And then he stabs them.
Also, you brought up a really good point. Like, man, you got to, it's got to be a Christmas movie, man. Yeah. It's a fucking gingerbread cookie. Like, that's what you have at Christmas time, gingerbread.
Well, it also gives you things to do, like, you know, it paints a picture, like, you know, the snow could be falling, like, you can't keep the heat on at the bakery, or like that, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
It's so funny, like, as bad as Krampus was, you really appreciate how they just fucking lean into what Krampus actually is, eh?
Yeah.
And they just, like, make it all about that.
Well, in the season, the reason the family's gathered in the house is because it's Christmas and, like, you know.
Anyways, let me just finish this up.
Yeah.
It's already gone way too long.
Yeah, I'm dying here, buddy.
So I'm going to come in at 0.5.
Well, you're just copying me?
Half a toe. No, 0.5.
0.5.
A fucking toe.
So this gets a 2 out of 10 on the Running Scared. If you were to add it up.
Well, you know what? Me and you, or yourself and I, we've reviewed lots of different kinds of horror films. We're trying to expand the kinds of horror films we watch. And like, if it's a bad film, or if it's kind of like a hokey film, you know, and it's still got some redeeming qualities, you know, we'll give it a burn. This movie just was shite. So I'm going to turn the page on this and move on to something better. So
please. Yeah.
Anyways, Patreon listeners, all of you out there, if you want to, or if you want us to review a movie, let us know. We've got some ideas, but if there's one that you think that would be really good, just send us a quick email and we can go ahead and review that. Rob, it is December 23rd.
It is.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting.
The Running Scared podcast is written and produced by Jamie Roberts and Robert Lendrum, with original music by Jamie Roberts. This episode edited by Robert Lendrum. Follow us on social media and tune in for another movie review on Running Scared.
He has come back from the dead to get revenge on you. Inside a cookie.